Your uncle was going to give me to the Danes for that, he said. Only no Dane complained, so he did nothing.
You're with the Danes now, I said,
and you'd better get used to it. Eldwulf thought about that for a moment. Why not go to Wessex? He asked.
Because the West Saxons want to turn me into a priest, I said, and I want to be a warrior.
Go to Mercia, then, Eldwulf suggested.
That's ruled by the Danes.
But your uncle lives there.
My uncle?
Your mother's brother.
He was astonished that I did not know my own family.
He's Ealdorman Æthelwulf, if he still lives.
My father never talked about my mother, I said.
Because he loved her. She was a beauty, your mother, a piece of gold, and she died giving birth to you.
Æthelwulf, I said.
If he lives.
But why go to Æthelwulf when I had Ragnar? Æthelwulf was family, of course, but I'd never met him, and I doubted he even remembered my existence, and I had no desire to find him, and even less desire to learn my letters in Wessex. So I would stay with Ragnar. I said as much to Eldwulf. He's teaching me to fight, I said.
Learn from the best, eh? Eldwulf said grudgingly. That's how you become a good smith. Learn from the best.
Eldwulf was a good smith, and despite himself he came to like Ragnar, for Ragnar was generous, and he appreciated good workmanship. A smithy was added onto our home near Sunningthwaite, and Ragnar paid good silver for a forge, an anvil, and the great hammers, tongs, and files that Eldwulf needed. It was late winter before all was ready, and then ore was purchased from Jofurik, and our valley echoed to the clang of iron on iron, and even on the coldest days the smithy was warm, and men gathered there to exchange stories or to tell riddles. Eldwulf was a great man for riddles, and I would translate for him as he baffled Ragnar's Danes. Most of his riddles were about men and women and what they did together, and those were easy enough to guess, but I liked the complicated ones. My father and mother gave me up for dead, one riddle began. Then a loyal kinswoman wrapped and protected me, and I killed all her children, but she still loved me and fed me until I rose above the dwelling houses of men and so left her. I could not guess that one, nor could any of the Danes, and Eldwulf refused to give me the answer even when I begged him, and it was only when I told the riddle to Breda that I learned the solution.
A cuckoo, of course, she said instantly.
She was right, of course. By spring, the forge needed to be larger, and all that summer Eldwulf made metal for swords, spears, axes and spades. I asked him once if he minded working for the Danes, and he just shrugged.
I worked for them in Bebbanburg, he said, because your uncle does their bidding.
But there are no Danes in Bebbanburg?
None, he admitted, but they visit and are made welcome. Your uncle pays them tribute.
He stopped suddenly, interrupted by a shout of what I thought was pure rage. I ran out of the smithy to see Ragnar standing in front of the house, while approaching up the track was a crowd of men led by a mounted warrior. And such a warrior. He had a mail coat, a fine helmet hanging from the saddle, a bright painted shield, a long sword, and arms thick with rings. He was a young man with long fair hair and a thick gold beard, and he rode back at Ragnar like a rutting stag. Then Ragnar ran toward him, and I half thought the young man would draw the sword and kick at his horse, but instead he dismounted and ran uphill, and when the two met they embraced and thumped each other's backs, and Ragnar, when he turned toward us, had a smile that would have lit the darkest crypt of hell.
My son! He shouted up at me, my son!